When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Show
with Stephen Colbert.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are so lucky to be here tonight because, thanks everybody, because my first guest is one of the funniest people I have ever had the pleasure to call my boss. Please welcome Dana Carvey. Thank you.
Hey.
Good gosh.
Nice to
I'm
see
so
you.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to
I'm
see
I'm still
you.
Talking in that other voice. I got yeah. John Bolton'd.
Yeah, I'm worried about him, man.
Bolton, Bolton, Bolton. Yeah. Keep him doggy rolling, bull high. Cook him up, bit-a-lip. I'm just feeding from the energy from four.
I like it. When you see
Steven.
Somebody like, when you see somebody like John Bolton appear yes. on the national scene, do you go, oh, what a lovely character? Like, let me at him.
Well, you know, we took some liberties. I mean,
no,
but
the
mustache was great. But mostly when he's on, he's got the news talk. Well, and he says crazy things, but he acts very calm. I believe it's a wonderful thing when a nuclear weapon gets out of its tight silo and has a throbbing, aggressive trajectory toward another country. And you're like, what? You know, so, I think there are many countries we have to be worried about in terms of threats, Canada, France, Norway, Hawaii. Like, what? Hawaii, well, they could become a nation state and develop nukes. So, but what I'm always looking for is the exaggeration point.
Sure.
So when you're going from that, and then you're kind of a little, like that.
Well, that's
like,
what you
like
taught
an animal.
Me when I worked for you on the Dana
yes.
Carvey Show. You said, don't worry if it sounds like the
no,
person.
No, never worry. And you always found a hook. Can you do your angry Gregory Peck for the people over 50?
Sure, I'll try.
We threw so many things at Stephen. You came in as a sketch player and a writer.
Yeah.
But not, you didn't fancy yourself.
I did not do impressions.
But you nailed Geraldo Rivera.
Oh, well, it's funny you should bring that up because I remember.
Yes.
It was during the OJ. It was during the OJ
yes.
Trial
yes.
that this was going on.
Yes, I did Cato Kalin.
You did Cato
yeah.
Kalin.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was, is that so. So the Dana Carvey Show was in winter into spring of,
yes.
of 1996.
Basically, it was a show that went, phew, and it was gone. And then there were cactus.
But kind of a legendary, it was a murderer's row up there. It was you, it was Robert Smigel, it was Louis C.K., it was Steve Carell, it was me.
Stephen Colbert.
Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah.
Dina Stamatopoulos, Robert Carlock, who created
right.
30 Rock with
Heather
Tina.
Morgan,
and,
Bill Cott,
Heather Morgan,
Elon
Bill Cole. Amazing group of people.
Yeah.
And
freaky.
And so we're the Carvey the OJ trial
yes.
going on.
And so we asked
and I
you,
find out the night before they're yeah. like, "Hey Dana can't find a hook for Geraldo. You do it."
Well, I thought I was doing Cato, which was basically Garth with a little bit more energy.
So this is me hey. Is Geraldo. And you
yeah.
is Cato Kalin. Cato, my friend.
I heard a thump, thump. And then OJ was sweating. That was, I don't remember. What? Yeah, you handled it well.
Well, thank you. But I have to thank
yes.
you for hiring for me for that show because I can draw a direct line from you hiring me for that show and being right here. Because
wow.
all jobs I got, all work. It's absolutely true.
I like to think that's true. I don't fancy myself a talent scout, but we did look at 300 people, and pretty soon, over time, we kept looking at the two Steves. I think I nicknamed you, even though it was Stephen. And Steve Carell and Stephen Colbert, when you guys were really unknown. I mean, nobody's.
No, we could not get arrested.
But with outsized talent.
Yeah, so that's
crazy talent.
That's me and Carell on your show.
Yes.
This was waiters who were nauseated by food.
Right. Well, we did a lot of presentational comedy, so the Chiron would come up and say, and now presenting waiters who are nauseated by food.
Germans
who say nice things.
Skinheads from Maine.
Skinheads from Maine. Do you remember Skinheads from Maine? It can't air, and we can't even really talk about it any further, but just use your imagination. It's the Petridge Farm voice, because I used to go around doing Petridge Farm, flaky, fresh things, you know? And I thought it'd be funny to have that guy be a skinhead.
Exactly.
And then you came in with this crazy, weird, To Kill a Mockingbird vibe.
Yeah.
Remember, you would look up and just, like, at the ceiling and just go, right here. What was your hook? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
What are you doing? Carving a hate stick to beat Spaniards. You see, why were we canceled?
Why?
Why on earth?
Why? I don't get it. I knew when they weren't trying to rein us in, it didn't seem right. I said,
Was there anything they said don't do?
No, and I thought, you know, when a show's lost faith, they're like, should we do anything different? Tame it down. Oh, no. Do whatever you want.
Now, this was ABC had bought Disney not that long before, right?
We were an insane late night show in prime time after Home Improvement.
Which was the friendliest,
family,
softest.
Like a puppy.
Yeah, exactly. A puppy filled with marshmallows.
Yes, exactly.
And the very first, just for people who've forgotten, because it's legendary at this point.
The very first sketch, we had Bill Clinton breastfeeding these puppies. And
of course, if you're going to have Bill Clinton with multiple teats down his chest, it's very important that they what?
Well, that they lactate.
Yes. That actual milk.
Right.
There were puppeteers behind you with bulbs of milk.
Yes. Right. We just didn't know. We'd banked the sketch a month before, and then it was a big, like, should we start with that, or Oliver Stone covers the Revolutionary War.
Yes.
Where I played Banderas, Smigel played Al Pacino as George Washington.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we've got to get some British soldiers. You know. We almost led with that. We did Clinton Teats, and then they showed me the analytics. We were at 16 million viewers. 3 minutes later, we were at 800,000.
Because you can see the minute by minute.
You can see the minute by minute.
Just,
we lost 15 million people in 2.5 minutes.
Just wiped out our audience faster than Columbus did the Indians.
You and
just
Steve.
Gone. Genocide.
You and Steve had never been on a TV show, so you come in eager the next day. How's the show going?
You came into our office and said,
I know.
I'm so sorry I've ruined your career.
Yes, I did.
You said you guys should have been hired for SNL. You'll never work again. I'll do my best to make sure you get a job.
But I did say to you that if talent is a cake and your likability, I said, I've seen it happen to Mike Myers, Adam Sandler, and I knew that you and Steve had all the ingredients. I told you that, to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But I never thought you'd get this big. I set myself up. It's a joke.
You're welcome.
More with Dana Carvey after this.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcast.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
I knew when we were canceled, okay? And I've told this to everybody who's ever worked on a show who's trying to figure out whether the show's going to last.
When you know.
It was me and Carell and a guy named Dino Stamatopoulos, who's a wonderful writer and performer, who we went over to the snack area where they have all the snacks because they never want the writers to ever leave the building because you always have to be generating
material.
They feed
you in the trough.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I went over and I opened up the snack drawer, which is just packed with everything. You got Twizzlers and Skittles and chocolate chips and live chickens, everything you possibly want.
Loaded.
Open it up, and there was one Nature Valley granola bar.
That was it.
And Dino, who had worked more than we had, said, "Oh, we're canceled." They don't care if we leave or not.
But we made history, man.
We sure did.
We thumbed our nose at the powers that be. Noble failures going broke. Yeah.
Well,
we did fine.
Now, there's a documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Josh
Greenbaum was a Cornell film student, has done all these documentaries, became possessed by this crazy blip of a show.
Because people always wondered about the show because it had such an incredible group of people on it, and then it just evaporated in just a hail of blood.
And a hail of stardom, actually. So it's sort of a unique story. Mm. And so it's on Hulu. It's a documentary
it's called
about
Too Funny to Fail, The Life and Death of the Dana Carvey Show.
Yes, but they're getting the inside scoop right now. We were going downtown, deep.
Oh, yeah, this is even deeper than you'll get
You're not going to get the snack bar story on the documentary.
No. I want to share with you, I did really need the job. I was a desperate man. I was unemployed. My wife was unemployed. We just had a baby. I was living in Chicago.
Yes, I remember.
I had no safety. I didn't know what I was going to do.
Scary.
Then I heard a guy named Dave Koechner, who you guys probably know. He's a wonderful comic actor. Whammy from the Ron Burgundy movies.
Right.
And he said to me, we're doing a set at a place called Shuba's in Chicago. And he said, Robert Smigel, the executive producer.
Right.
He's looking for you. I'm like, what does that mean? He's looking for me. He knows where I live. Whatever.
He told me about you.
And so you guys allowed me to send a tape from Chicago.
Yes, I remember the tape.
Yeah. Well, we have a little clip here. I was really desperate for a job.
This is desperation.
You guys sent me a sketch or something, and I didn't know what to do with it. I did a couple of characters.
Yeah.
And then I had my daughter with me, who at the time was 3 months old, and I didn't know what to do, so I just started using her as a puppet.
Yeah.
And I was so desperate. I was so desperate that I just went with my actual feelings and tried to make comedy out of my desperation.
Oh, this is
the audition tape that Dana saw of me.
I promised myself I wouldn't do this. It's not fair. I don't know how we're gonna feed her, or clothe, or give her what we had. Why am I an actor? My brothers are lawyers.
True story.
Oh, man. Oh. No, it was...
True story.
It was a very specific choice. It's hard to do a good cry, like real, but make it funny. So could we see just a dash of that right now?
Why?
Because normally I do this thing where I'm trying to hold back. I just don't even... No, everything I do seems like Garth right now on the monitor.
Well, the
40, 50, 60. Okay. They know.
I just want to go over a couple of sketches that we did. These two sketches you can actually find on Hulu now, but they were never broadcast.
Right. Okay? Yeah, we banked some that they
that we shot them and then they canceled us.
Yes.
Okay, this was one. This was This was This Week with David Brinkley.
Right.
On the Great American Scream Machine, which we shot out at Great America here in New Jersey.
Yes, comedy acting on a roller coaster.
One take with a camera on the front, no cuts.
Sub-freezing in which roller coaster tracks can get sticky.
Yeah.
Which I knew, and I didn't tell you guys. Who was the scared guy? Was it Carell or Smigel?
And it was Carell. And it was the morning, early morning on a Saturday before they left. Crowds in,
and you're just
like
going upside down, and I was.
So
we're
doing impressions. You're George Will. Yeah. I'm David Brinkley, and here we go.
With me, as usual, are George Will, Sam Donaldson, and Cokie Robert. George, with the Japanese making an economic comeback, is there pressure to put the protectionism of Buchanan on the platform?
David, I think it's unfair to criticize the message because you don't like the messenger. This is not unlike a first baseman not liking... Oh, my God!
Oh, knock it off, George!
But look at Brinkley. What we do for comedy.
Never broadcast.
Never aired.
Never made it to air. Never made it to air.
I know.
Never got a dinner.
Yeah, then...
Okay.
So many choices.
I'm so exhausted. Just remembering
just
this.
From that
we tried so hard.
And around.
Yeah, we did multiple takes of that, and you throw up as George Will.
I had a bag of pretend vomit, and then before I'd go like that and go on the thing and Oh, it was delightful. I wonder why they didn't air it.
this was another piece.
What's this?
Can we show another piece of tape?
Yeah.
Do we have time for that?
Is it my show? Let's do it.
I just asked that guy.
Show
over there.
The freaking tape. The boss says show it.
So you're always when you're writing sketch.
Yeah.
You're always like it's so hungry. Sketch is so hungry. You're constantly consuming premises.
Yes.
All the time. And I was Louis C.K. was the head writer, and I was sitting in Louis' office while you guys were working on a sketch about I don't know what. Ross Perot.
Probably
or something
Ross
like
Perot.
That.
Can I finish on time? Can I finish on time? Again, just a great sound.
Yes.
Can I finish on time? Can I finish on time? You're not finishing. I mean, it's still fun to do.
Little John Bolton there.
Little John Bolton
goes in there. Oh, before we go to that, how do you put up an impression together? Like, do you go like, I want to sound like that guy? Because I've heard that you put people together, like you combine
Right, I mean,
people.
I don't try to be accurate, but what I did do with Trump, I started with...
Well, you have a Trump. I didn't know you had a Trump.
But it's an exaggerated one. I started with Regis, because Trump has that rhythm. And I remember Regis, I'm out of control. Anyway, Galvin's over there. He's crazy. Could Regis get a biscuit over here? So I knew that that had sort of a rhythm, but I knew there was something else. So I went to Marlon Brando, for you seniors.
And he was like this, can I help you, my son? And he has a bit of Trump. Regis is over here, and I moved back over, and I had Donald Trump right here, okay? I'm not good, I can't take it.
And then I added recently out of boredom, William Shatner.
I can't know what I'm doing, I can't do it.
I just am still fascinated by a guy who talks like that, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sad, many people, excuse me, that I can tell you, many people, so sad, excuse me, many people, I know, a lot of people, really, okay.
And then, I mean, you know, it's just rhythms.
Sure. At a certain level, nothing like him, but exactly like him.
I've gotten used to it, but if Obama had said that stuff, it would have scared the hell out of me. Like, he goes,
we got holes, okay, total holes.
You know, Obama wouldn't talk like that. He'd be like, point of fact, in Port-au-Prince, there's not a whole lot of indoor plumbing. I do one more?
Sure.
Little rocket man, tiny, tiny little rocket man, okay?
The reason we call you Little Rocket Man is because you're short of stature and you have a propensity to launch projectiles into the air. I just said, that's a natural kind of jokey. Thank you.
I'm not worthy.
No.
I'm not worthy.
Remember, Regis, Brando.
I'm writing it all down.
And Shatner.
I'm writing it all
That's
down.
That's the cake for you kids out there.
I want to show you my favorite sketch that we did on your show, on
Which
the Dana Carvey show.
Which you wrote, I'm going to say.
This is what happened, is that I saw this many years, the story behind this is that I saw We were in the CBS Broadcast Center, even though it was an ABC show, which is a whole other story. And I was watching, I thought the news, but in fact it was just the feed from the CBS news desk where Dan Rather was still the host, the anchor of the desk. And he was, and he starts doing Ronald Reagan's obituary.
Yes.
And so I run into the writer's room where you guys are working on the Ross Perot thing. I say, hey, Reagan died. And you guys went, oh, okay, thanks. And you went back to your sketch. Well, because you guys were busy.
Yeah, we were busy.
You were busy.
Okay.
And so then I go back to his office to go, oh, God, I got to find out how he died. And Rather's still there. And he goes, like,
practicing different scenarios.
Let me try it again. And he's doing it with a slightly different tone. He's wearing, he's wearing seasonal neutral.
So in case it's in a spring or fall.
He's just banking the obituary for Ronald Reagan. So I said to Robert, like, what if we did it for, because he has to do it for, what if he had to do every scenario? Instead of being general, what if he was incredibly specific and had to do every possible way man could die?
To be covered.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So and so we chose Ford, who seemed less likely to die at the time. And this is a bite of the middle of Gerald Ford having to do every possible way. Again, wasn't broadcast. Eventually, it was done on SNL.
Yes, we did it on SNL, and it killed for a sketch that's very quiet and sophisticated. It just got huge laughs.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What are you saying?
Very upset.
Oh, Brokaw.
Oh, this I trotted out my Tom Brokaw.
So this is Tom Brokaw saying how Gerald Ford's died in the most specific ways because he has to say all of them. Jim.
Gerald Ford dead today from an overdose of crack cocaine.
Good, good. Next.
All right. Stunning news from Michigan as former President Gerald Ford was chopped into little bits by the propeller of a commuter plane.
Very good. One take.
All right, we got it?
No, we got eaten by wolves.
What? No, come on.
Come on. Just read it, please, Tom.
Gerald Ford isn't going to be eaten by wolves.
Taft was.
Really? Taft?
Yeah.
All right. A tragedy today is former President Gerald Ford was eaten by wolves. He was delicious.
Oh, wow. Oh, that was one of your best sketches. One of your best.
Thank you for this job. Thank you for show
you
business.
You would have made it anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen the man Colbert. Is funny with the sound off. Too Funny to Fail is Stephen on Hulu. Colbert. Dana Carvey, everybody. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.